ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ, ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ। I was given the topic, what is the purpose of human life? Before I begin, I just want to say I'm not a speaker. The only quality I have is that I've done Sangat with a lot of Gursikhs, and I've had the opportunity to learn a lot, and the Sikhs here that run the camp decided that the Sikhs at Gurdwara Tahoban Sahib should be given seva, so I'm here. I'm going to try and make this lecture more based on Barney than my own opinions. Because I guess you're not here to hear what Baltray saying things about the purpose of life, you're here to know what Guru Sahib has to say. So, what is the purpose of life? When I was younger in high school, I was already a little bit interested in Sikhi, and I had gained an understanding for myself, but I was always confused, how do people that don't know, how do they live their life? Why do they get up in the morning? Why do they do what they do? I'll just illustrate to you that this is a really big problem for some people. About 5 years ago, I was working in a factory just during the summer after school, and there was a girl that sat beside me. She was blonde and Canadian, and she looked at me, and for a while she didn't say anything, but because we were working together for so long, she eventually started to ask about Sikhi. Why do you wear your turban? What do you believe? And I was really curious about what she believed, because she seemed to be really interested in Sikhi, but she claimed not to have a religion, and that confused me. So after a while I asked her, why are you alive? What makes you get up in the morning? Why do you do what you do? What's the purpose of your life? And she looked at me, and she stopped for a second, and she got really emotional, and she said, you know, I haven't a clue, and that scares the hell out of me. And I think for all of us, if we don't know why we're alive, it should scare the hell out of us. I read a story that summarizes the situation really well. A man had a dream, and in the dream, he was walking, and he came to a river. And beside the river, there was a woman standing, holding a bag. And every second or so, she'd reach into the bag and throw something shiny into the river. And he asked, who are you? And she answered, I'm your soul. He said, why are you at this river? She said, this is the river of time. He said, and what are you throwing into the river? She said, that's every breath. And with every single breath we take, that's a breath we're never going to get back again. And that's another breath that we're coming closer to death and the end of our opportunity here. So life is precious. Guru Sahib has told us that life and every breath we have is something that we can't waste. And knowing what we're alive for, making a big goal as opposed to something small, is essential. Because a lot of people have short goals. They say, I'm going to finish school. Once you finish school, I'm going to get a job. Once you have a job, I'm going to advance. I'm going to have a family. But once they reach those goals, they don't know where to go from there. They have no aim. And when you have no aim, you end up going everywhere and you have no direction in life. So, what is the goal in life? That's something that I'm going to try and talk about today. First, I want to use a quote from Barney. Guru Sahib tells us, Rehne gawai soye kahe, devs gawaya khaye, heere jaisa janam hai, kaudi badale jaye. That we spend our nights sleeping, and we spend our days eating and wasting our time, and that we've been given a diamond in the form of life, and you're trading it away for nothing. You're trading it away for just a worthless shell. Like a child that's been given a diamond, and he's walking on the beach and he looks down and he sees a shiny stone or a shiny shell, and he throws the diamond aside and picks up the shell and starts playing with it. He knows no value for it. And that's sometimes how we are. We don't know how much our life really means. So, what I want to start off with is a question a Gursikh asked me a number of years ago. What are your goals in life? And some people, I've asked people, and they've come up with money, family, I want to be a good person, I want to help others, but the main goal that people have is I want to be happy. Well, how are you going to be happy? I don't know. They're going to say, I want to have a family, and that'll make me happy. But how many people do we see around us that are actually happy? We have so many people that are depressed, on antidepressants, people that want to die, then why can't people achieve happiness? So that's another question I want to answer today. The first description or comparison I want to do is between a human versus a dog. What are the qualities that both have, and what do both want to accomplish in life? When you first see this comparison, you kind of ask yourself, what's he talking about? A human and a dog are so different. Why would he even bring this question up? But what does a human want in life? We've already gone through that. Security, a family, food, shelter, a good time every once in a while, you know, a good mate. What does an animal want? An animal might not want to live in a mansion, but I know dogs want to have a good house. They want to be loved. My dog comes every day with a stick in his mouth when I come home and wants to play, just like we want to play. And they also enjoy having good food. So what makes them different? And if they're going to be judged, because what is a dog and what is a human? We're both souls inside bodies. So when we're judged, how are we going to be judged differently? When we're standing in front of Dharmaraj and we're confronted with what we've accomplished and what was in our heart, how will a usual human compare with a dog? In fact, I think some humans might not even be able to meet up to the measure of a dog, because Guru Sahib has spoken quite highly of a dog in Bani. Swami ko grahajyo sada swanta jitnahi nit nanak evit harpa jo ek man hoy ek chet. Just like a dog, Guru Sahib says, doesn't leave his owner's house and serves with loyalty. That's how Guru Sahib says we should serve Vaiguru. But some humans don't even have that quality of loyalty. So when we're judged, how will we be judged any differently than a dog? And I think that's pretty scary, because Guru Sahib has told us life is precious. And if you've lived the life of a dog, what was so precious about your life? What was so special about it? Life according to Gurbani. Gurbani has said over and over with such urgency, with desperation, do something, this is your chance. This is one of the shabds that I'm going to go through with you. Guru Sahib says in Guru Granth Sahib, Gur seva te bhagat kamai, tabe manas dehi pai. This is an order that Guru Sahib is giving to us, that you received human form, manas dehi. And what is it for? Gur seva and bhakti. And we discussed earlier that Gur seva is naam and bhakti is the same thing. That the only reason we receive this body is for naam and bhakti. Es dehi ko simrai dev, so dehi par bhajha ki sev. That even the gods, they desire this. Why? Because human life is the only life where we can meet Vaiguru, where we can see Vaiguru. No other life form, no other entity can do that. Pajo Govind, pool mat jao, manas janam ka ehi lao, rahao. And this is the key idea of this shab. That remember Govind, Vaiguru. Don't forget. Because in life, we forget why we're here. We get distracted. And Guru Sahib says, manas janam ka ehi lao. This is the only profit that you're going to take from this world. This is the only special benefit that you're going to be able to take. Jab lag jara rog nahi aaya, jab lag kaal grisi nahi kaya, jab lag bikal pahi nahi paani, pajle re man sarang paani. This is talking about the body. One day our voice isn't going to be able to speak anymore. One day we're not going to be able to move anymore. So while you still have the ability, remember Vaiguru.
Avna pajis pajis kab pai, ave antana pajaya jai. Jogosh karein soi absar, fir pashtao na pavo par.
That whatever you're going to do in regards of bhakti, do it now. Don't wait for tomorrow. Do it right now because you don't know about tomorrow. Do it with urgency. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to cross this world ocean. And you're going to regret it. You're going to pashtana. In dargah, when we're faced with all our karma, we're going to realize what a waste we made of our life. And that's when regret sets in. And then there's nothing we can do about it. Our face is black in front of God. And when we're asked, what did you accomplish? We have no answer. And that's when there's nothing to do. So Guru Sahib says, do something now.
So sevak jo laya sev, tin hi paen niranjan dev, gur mil taan ke khule kapaat, bahar na hove joni vaat.
That's the sevak that's been given the seva. And how will we get the seva? It's through Guru Sahib. And that's the importance of Guru Sahib in our life. That when we meet Guru Sahib, that's when we can begin our life as a spiritual person. As a pug, we get naam only from Guru Sahib. So Guru Sahib is telling us with urgency, start now. Don't wait. Don't say, oh, no, when I'm older, then, you know, I'll have more time and then it'll be okay. No, start now. Because you don't know how many diamonds are left in your sack.
ਇਹੀ ਤੇਰਾ ਅਵਸਰ ਇਹ ਤੇਰੀ ਬਾਰ ਘੱਟ ਪੀਤਰ ਤੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਵਿਚਾਰ ਕਹਿਤ ਕਬੀਰ ਜੀਤ ਕੈ ਹਾਰ ਬਹੁ ਵਿਧ ਕਹਿਓ ਪੁਕਾਰ ਪੁਕਾਰ
This says ਇਹੀ ਤੇਰਾ ਅਵਸਰ ਇਹ ਤੇਰੀ ਬਾਰ This is your time, this is your chance. Think about it. And this is your time, ਜੀਤ ਕੈ ਹਾਰ Rusa says, it's up to you now. If you want to win or you want to lose, it's up to you. And pukar pukar, that means over and over I'm crying out. So Guru Granth Sahib Ji is telling us, I'm crying out over and over. This is a special time. If you lose it now, if you don't meet Vaiguru now, you're not going to have that chance again. Guru Sahib has given us a usual life. The shabds in Gurbani called Pehre. Pehre essentially talk about what a human life usually is about. It describes a night that the human is spending one night in a place here. And what happens during that night? It's using an analogy that the soul is here for only a night, a short time. And what does that usual soul do for that one night?
So Guru Sahib starts off, Sri Rag Mahalla Pehla. Pehle pehre rehn kahe vanjarya mitra, balak budh achet, kheer piya khelaiya, vanjarya mitra, mat pita sut het, mat pita sut nehek nera, maya moh subai. Sanjogi aya kirt kamaya karani kar karai. Ram naam bin mukt na hoi, buddhi duja het, kahunar prani pehle pehre chutenga har chet.
So the first quarter of our life, the first part of the night, sleep hasn't set in yet. We're still somewhat aware. Guru Sahib tells us when we're in our mother's womb, we know exactly why we're come to this earth. We know exactly how special human life is. But when we're born, we enter the world and our connection is lost. We forget why we're here. We come out and we meet our family and we start thinking about milk and other worldly pleasures. And all of a sudden, our connection, our thoughts of God are lost. And then Guru Sahib talks about love, that the love between a mother and child, that's another distraction. Is that really love or is it more attachment? Because love is something I think that if I love my child, I'll love all children just as much. If I'm willing to make a sacrifice for this child, I'm willing to make another sacrifice for that child. But if you're not willing to do that, I think maybe that's attachment. So attachment sets in. But for the first quarter, you're in your childhood and you're still somewhat aware, you're not distracted completely with Maya.
The second quarter, Guru Sahib says, Dujje pehre rehn ke vanjarya mitra, par jovan main mat, ainish kaam vyapya vanjarya mitra, andre naam na chit, Ram naam kat antar nahi, pur jaane ras kas meethe, gyan tyan gun sanjam nahi, jan maronge chuthe. ਤੀਰਥ ਵਰਤ ਸੁਚ ਸੰਜਮ ਨਾਹੀ ਕਰਮ ਧਰਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਪੂਜਾ ਨਾਨਕ ਪਾਏ ਪਤ ਨਿਸਤਾਰਾ ਦੁਬਦਾ ਵਿਆਪੇ ਦੂਜਾ
I'm going to talk about this quarter in our life somewhat reluctantly because this is the most dangerous quarter of the night and I'm in it just like most of you are in it. This is the quarter when sleep starts to set in more. We're distracted more. And this is also when thieves start to come out. When we are robbed of all our qualities. So, what is happening in the second quarter? We have a flood of so many hopes, desires, fears, and for the first time we start to feel an emptiness inside. There's something missing, and we have to fill that void inside. And the qualities that we have, the good qualities are washed away by the need for instant gratification. That I want to feel good right away. And what are you going to do to feel good right away? Guru Sahib especially looks at kaam. He mentions kaam. Looking at, towards other people with lust. This is something that all of us are going to face in life. And it's because we feel an emptiness inside. We don't know why. We feel so alone that there's no one there to understand me. And there's no one there that can take me through life. No one there to help me. I remember in high school, again, I asked one of my best friends a question. So what drives you? I used to ask this question quite a bit. And he told me, I'll tell you in my yearbook entry, in your yearbook at the end of the year. This was my final year in high school. And I waited the entire year to find out. And what his final entry was I had a dream, and I met someone in my dream, and she understood exactly what I was going through, and understood exactly what I was saying, and we got along so well, and my goal in life is to meet that person. That makes me feel whole. This is what he said. That makes me feel whole, that can complete me. But is there such a person? Who can complete us? What's missing in our life? Because Guru Sahib has told us, Man tu jot sroop hai apna mool pashan. We are a small drop from a larger ocean. What's inside us, our soul, is God. And we've been separated from Vaiguru. That's the emptiness we're feeling. And we're going to look towards different people to fill that emptiness. And no one's going to be able to do it. I mean, look around you. How many people are following this path, trying to find gratification from another person, trying to fill their emptiness inside by going and finding a boyfriend or a girlfriend or something like this? How many people are doing it? Almost everybody. And how many people are successful? How many people are finding happiness through this? I don't see very many. I don't think there are any. So we have to say to ourselves, there's obviously something wrong. There's something not right with this path. We have to investigate something else. What we do now, later on we're going to regret. What we do now in terms of blackening our face sometimes, just because of quote-unquote love, I'm in love, it doesn't matter. Because that's what we think our purpose is, to find this person that's going to complete us. What we do now, we're going to regret later on. Sometimes we sacrifice our entire family, sometimes we sacrifice our honor, everything. And what we end up with is nothing. And that empty feeling just continues. Everyone's looking for it, but because no one's successful through this path, it proves that it's wrong. But at the same time, Guru Sahib is telling us this is a powerful time in your life. It's young people that change the world. If someone becomes a bhakt at this age, if someone grabs onto Guru Sahib at this age, then it's possible that they'll be able to take it farther than anyone else. Because our blood is hot, we're willing to move forward with things, we're willing to dedicate ourselves to things more completely at this age than any other. So if we grab onto bhakti at this age, nam at this age, we just get a taste. That's the problem. Sikhi is not through talk. Sikhi is an experience. And if we get that experience now, just a little bit, it's possible that we might stick to it and accomplish what we're here to get. So this is the second quarter of the night. The third quarter, sleep gets even deeper. Trying to wake someone up in the third quarter is impossible. Guru Sahib says, Tije pehre rehn ke van ja reha mitra. Sir hans ulathde aaye. Jovan kate jarua jine van ja reha mitra. Aav kate din jaye. Ant kaal pachtasi andle ja jam pakad chalaya. Sakish apna kar kar rakhya. Khin mein pya paraya. Budh visar ji gayi syanap. Kar avgan pachtaye. Kaho nanak prani tije pehre. When we're out of our youth, we can see in our parents that the way they act, they're very set in their ways. And sometimes they just say, it's too late to change now. Whatever I am, I am. They're stuck raising a family, bringing up their children, raising a household. And they just say, it's too late now, I don't have time for bhakti. And waking them up, showing them that there is something greater, is impossible. That they're just stuck where they are. And Guru Sahib says, you're going to regret it. That slowly your intellect is leaving you. age is creeping up on you, death is approaching, and you still don't understand, and you're going to regret it. So the third quarter, it's getting pretty late. And finally, the final quarter that Guru Sahib talks about. This is the quarter where all of us see that someone has no power left, they're on their deathbed. Guru Sahib says, Chauthe pehre rehne ke van jaa reha mitra, bird peya tan kheen, akhi andh na disi van jaa reha mitra, kanni sune na vain, akhi andh jeev ras nahi, rahe parako tana, gun antar nahi, kyo sukh paave, manmukh avan jana, khad pakki kud pajay binsay, aaye chalay kya maan, kaho naak prani chauthe pehre gurmukh shabd pashan. That in your final quarter, because a lot of us say, you know, when I get older, that's when I'll do bhakti. That I can't keep my kiss now, but when I'm done, my parents say this. My dad's a mona, my mom started keeping her kiss recently. He says, you know, I can't do it now. They both agree that amrit is what they want to have, but he says, when I retire, not now. I can't do it now. But when you're so old, your body doesn't have power anymore. You're dependent on other people to do everything for you. Your tongue doesn't move. And then your body just says, no, I can't do it. And then it's too late anyways. It's like starting off in school. Just like when the child was in the womb, it was the first semester. It knew what it was there for. I know when I start school, I'm always very dedicated. Definitely I'm going to get good grades. I remember I did an extra year of university to improve my grades. And when I started off, the first week or two, I spent hours in the library. But slowly I got distracted, started doing other things. And then the second quarter, second semester passes, third semester passes, fourth semester, and you see exams. And the same way in the fourth semester of life, fourth quarter of the night, you can see death in front of you. And that scares a lot of people. They start doing bhakti then, but it's too late then. If you start studying for your exams in the fourth semester, are you going to pass? It's unlikely. So if we start early, Guru Sahib says you can pass through this night, you can wake up. So Guru Sahib finally summarizes it for us. Odak aya tin sahaya van jaarya mitra, jar jarvana kan, ek ratti gunna samanya van jaarya mitra, avgan khatsan band, gun sanjam jave, chot na khave, na tis jamman marna, kaal jal jam johana sakke, pahe pagut pahe tarna, pat seti jave, sahib samave, sagale duk mitave, kaho nanak prani, gurmukh chute, sache te pat paave. That finally that day is going to come. And all you've collected in your life are bad qualities. You've done nothing productive. You've not used that jewel that Guru Sahib has given you. And then you're going to regret it. And you're going to be beaten on your way to Dargah. You're going to stand there with your face black. And you're going to have nothing to say. And this opportunity will be lost. But if we become a Gurmukh, our honor is going to be intact in this world and the next world. Here we'll be looked at with honor. And in Dargah, they say, Dharmaraj, who's going to judge us. He judges everyone else, reads out their lekha, their account. But when a Gurmukh comes, he gets up from his chair with folded hands and he welcomes them. And they don't have a lekha there. They don't have to bear the shame of hearing their qualities, hearing what they've done wrong, because it's been ripped apart by Guru Sahib. So Guru Sahib is encouraging us that don't let your night pass. Don't let it pass without a purpose. A little while ago, I know a lot of people here read our website, there was a story. It was about a man and a palace. It was a very poor man, and he's sitting very dukhi in a park. He's holding his head. And a stranger walks up and sits down beside him and said, what's the problem? You look very depressed. And he said, yeah, it's absolutely horrible. I'm losing my house. I don't have a cent in my account. My child is sick. And the creditors are saying they're going to take away everything. And I have nothing to do. I want to die. There's no purpose in me being alive. I couldn't save my family. And he said, the stranger says to him, I can help you. He said, there's a palace and a garden. And I'll give you the opportunity to go there. I'll show you where it is. And it's filled with riches. It's filled with jewels. What you do is, you go there for one night, and you collect as much as you want, and you come out, and the only thing I ask you is that you bring me one bag of jewels, one bag of money. The rest, whatever you collect, is yours. He said, why don't you go? He said, no, I can't go. But I can show you where it is. And it was such an outlandish claim, but this man looked completely serious, and he said, and the poor man said, well, I guess I have nothing to lose, I'll follow. And he said, well, I'll send you, but there's one thing. When you're in there, there's so many distractions that it's quite possible that you'll forget what you were there for. He said, no, what are you joking? I have so many problems. My child's going to die. I have so much urgency. And how are you saying that I'll forget? He said, no, watch. It's possible that you'll forget what you're there for. So in the middle of the night, I'll try and call you to remind you. So don't get distracted. So the man's led to that garden and sees the palace. And he walks through the gate. The man says, come out at the end of the night. He said, fine. He goes in and he sees a beautiful garden, flowers. And he's distracted right away. He starts smelling the flowers. And he's never seen anything like this before. He goes in the house and there's women and men dancing. And there's screens with amazing plays. And at first he's very dedicated. He says, well, just a minute, I'll see this. And then I'll start again. And he collects some money. When he stops again, he's distracted. And he just stands there for hours, watching nothing, gaining nothing. And he gets a call from the stranger. The stranger says, your time's running out. I'm just reminding you. He says, oh, yes, yes. And he starts again. He collects a little bit. And again, he sees something. And he stops. And the night passes. And he comes out. And all he had was that one bag of money. Nothing else. And the stranger says, what I want is what I'm owed. One bag. And that man is left with nothing. And that's exactly how a normal human is going to come out of this world. That when we start off in this world, like I said in the womb, the human is very dedicated. I'm here to meet Vaiguru. Because the only thing I'm here for is to meet Vaiguru. And when he comes out, he's distracted. And distracted so much that he forgets everything. And maybe at some point in his life, he remembers for a short time. And he might do bhakti like at this camp for a day or two. But then he forgets again. And he has to leave this world with nothing. And that opportunity is lost completely. And what I think Guru Sahib is saying for this exact situation is this. Apavitar pavitar jintu kareya, sagal jon mein tun sir tareya. Guru Sahib has put us at the top of all living forms. We're at the top of the life cycle. 84 lakh jun, 8.4 million life forms. And this is the only one that exists that is going to let us meet Vaiguru and escape this cycle. And then Guru Sahib says, Ab tu sij paave nahi sije. Now you have a choice. You can resolve your affairs or you cannot resolve your affairs. This is your choice. Karid savare man pravati aije. But if you want to resolve your affairs, then what you're going to have to do is, you're going to have to remember Vaiguru. You're going to have to remember Vaiguru and meditate. So I've told you how precious human life is. How are you going to take advantage of it? Guru, Amrit and Naam. According to Gurmat, life is only successful if we beat Satguru. And Satguru Sahib will give us Naam and give our life purpose. And again, this is something that I can't talk about. It's just something that has to be experienced. It's gunge ki mathiyai, a dumb person that tastes it. And if that person has a purpose, he can't express it. What did I get out of this? What did you get out of Naam? Can you explain to somebody what you get out of Naam? It's very difficult. What Guru Sahib does then is he holds your hand. You have that void in your life. You have that empty spot that you know you need someone. You feel so alone. And what Guru Sahib is offering is, I'll be with you forever. A story comes to mind. Bhai Sahib Inteer Singh was my inspiration to become more involved in Sikhi. And he spent quite a long time in jail, 15 years. He was sentenced to life in prison. And he had to spend time in solitary confinement, alone in a dark cell, for months. For months and months, he was kept in solitary confinement because that was considered the worst punishment they could give him. And a Christian missionary came to tour the prisons in India. And he went to see the solitary area. And he said, do anyone stay in these cells? And the jail warden said, no, no one comes here. If we threaten someone to come here even for a night, they freak out and they'll do whatever we say. But there is one crazy man. His name is Ranthir Singh. And he has lived in this cell for months. And it doesn't make a difference to him. And the Christian missionary was confused. He said, I want to meet this person. I want to see this person. So they took him there. And they opened the jail cell. And Bhai Sahib was sitting there in Samadhi. Eyes shut. Face glowing. His face was glowing. And the missionary said, can I speak to him? He said, he's usually in some sort of a deep state, but sometimes he wakes up. Call his name out. So they called his name out, and they asked Bhai Sahib, wake up, wake up. And the Christian missionary said, sir, how long have you been here? Because Bhai Sahib understood English. And Bhai Sahib said, many months. And they said, the missionary said, and you've been here alone? Bhai Sahib said, no, never. I've never been here alone. And the warden said, you're a liar. He's lying. It's not true. He's here alone. This is solitary confinement. And the warden looked at Bhai Sahib's face, and the Christian missionary looked at Bhai Sahib's face, and they both saw that he had no lie on his face. He was sincere. There's a twinkle in his eye. And the missionary said, it doesn't seem like he's lying. Why don't you tell us who is with you? And what Guru Sahib inspired Bhai Sahib to do at that point was sing a shabd. And this is Guru Arjan Dev Ji's shabd. Har ka naam rade nitya aayin, sangi saathi sagal satarayin, gur mere sang sada hai nale, simar simar pe sada samale. He said, gur mere sang sada hai nale, the Guru is always with me. And when he sang this line, Bhai Sahib put his hands together, and he lost all awareness. His head turned up, and his eyes filled with tears, and clanging his kade together like this, he just sang that line non-stop. And the Christian missionary said, what is he saying? And the warden said, he's saying, my Guru is with me all the time. My Guru never leaves me. And the warden said, is that right? Well, what we'll do is, can I try going in one of these cells? Because I'm a man of religion as well. He's a man of religion. So let me give it a try. And they said, no, you don't want to do that. He said, no, I insist. I'm a man of religion. Because he can do it. Why can't I? What's wrong with me? God's on my side as well. So they said, fine, your choice. They shut him in the cell. And after 15 minutes, they heard the bell. And another minute later, they're still coming. Started banging on the door. Get me out. Started screaming, get me out. I can't spend another second in here. This place is suffocating me. And he came out and he said, I want to meet that Sikh again. I want to meet that Sikh. And he came and Bhai Sahib was brought out of his cell again. And he said, your Guru stays with you in a way that mine won't stay with me. Can I hear that shabd again? And Bhai Sahib then sang that shabd, and they both watched. Again, Bhai Sahib go into Vismad. Guru is always with me. And that's what Guru Sahib is offering us. That if you become my Sikh, I'll never leave you. You can be here or there, and I'll always be with you. What Guru Sahib offers us is something that no other religion offers us. I mean, a Sikh sitting in that cell could sing, Gur mere sang sada hai nale, simar simar pe sada samale, tera kiya meetha lagge, tera kiya meetha lagge, your will is sweet to me, har naam padarth nanak mange. And when I read this, the shabd was by Guru Arjan Dev Ji. And I compare that, I don't want to insult any religion, but what we've done to our religion, not understanding it, not sending to others, Guru Arjan Dev Ji was sat in a boiling pot of water, tortured to death because he wouldn't leave his faith, wouldn't compromise his principles. He sat on a hot plate and was burnt. And he kept singing the shabd. And I don't think that any other prophet has been able to do this. Jesus on the cross, even he cried out in pain, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Guru Sahib is going to hold our hand in a way which no one else can. That's what Guru Sahib is offering. Amrit and Naam. Amrit is something that's essential to begin a spiritual life, because that's when we get Naam. There's stories of people taking birth in this world only to get Naam. There was a saint called Hira Harbachan Singh. He was first an atheist, but he heard Kirtan for the first time, and he heard Kirtan in such a way that he just stopped outside the door of that Kirtan. He used to go to Khalsa College because his family wanted to make him into a Sikh, but he was an atheist and he used to make fun of all the Sikhs. But just walking past a Kirtan, when Guru Sahib did Kirtan, just walking on the street, he stopped and he just froze there. And he just stood there. And they had to bring him in, they had to carry him in. And he decided at that Kirtan Samagam that he wanted to shak amrit. And he received so much gala that after the Amar Sanchar, where he was sitting in the Sangat, people saw him rise, float, and like a fish is in water, going in the wave like this, went in front of Guru Sahib with his hands closed like this, lying straight, just floating in the air. And the Singh at that point sang Lama. Lama is reserved for marriages. But they said, this Singh, he's being married to God as we see. And they sang Lama for Hira Harbhajan Singh. Anyways, getting to my point. He was married, and every time he would have a child, the child would die. He would get Amrit, because a baby is given Amrit when he's born. And later on in life, if you know they want to stay in Sikhi, which is hopefully what they will do, they go again in front of the Panch Pyare and they have the Sudai done. But in Amritdhari families, children are given Amrit. But every time the child was given Amrit, a few days later it would die. And Hira Harbhajan Singh Ji's wife said to him, why is this happening? And he said, these children that are born to us, these are highly, highly spiritual souls that have done so much bhakti for centuries, that their whole existence has been devoted to bhakti, but they're here only to get Naam from Guru Nanak Dev Ji. They're here to get Amrit and Naam. And once they get Amrit and Naam, their bhakti is stamped by Guru Nanak Dev Ji, and they're accepted to Sachkhand. Their journey ends. So his wife decided with the next child, it was a baby girl, that she's not going to take her for an Amar Sanchar. So she didn't, and the child rose, grew up. And when it was time for marriage, at that time there were only marriages for Amritdharis. And she wanted to take Amrit anyways, because her whole family was Amritdhari, that child. And Hira Harbhajan Singh Ji's daughter went for an Amar Sanchar, received Amrit, and 2 days later she too passed away. And at that point they did a das to Guru Sahib that send us children that'll stay here. Don't send us these souls anymore. And then they had a child, Dr. Surinder Singh Ji, who didn't die after receiving Amrit, but his name is known all across India as one of the most spiritual Guru Sikhs ever. Another story that illustrates the importance of Naam is the story of Santokh Jogi. If anyone's been to Amritsar, you'll see that there's a store called Santokh Sar. When Guru Arjan Dev Ji was digging that stover, they were digging and they called Guru Arjan Dev Ji because there was a big clay vessel, and they discovered it where the sarovar was when they were digging, and they said, what's this? And Guru Sahib said, break it. They broke it. What was sitting inside was a very old and gnarled man sitting in a state of samadhi, eyes closed. And Guru Arjan Dev Ji, of course, knew. He knew everything. Guru Sahib said, wake him. And they shook him on the shoulder and he said, what time is this? And they said, you know, this is the time. They said, how long have you been here? I've been here for centuries in meditation. And he goes, the only thing I want to know is, has Guru Nanak appeared on this planet? Has Guru Nanak come here? And they said, Guru Nanak's successor, Guru Nanak's Jyot, Guru Arjan Dev is here. He said, I want to become a Sikh. That's the only thing I've waited for. This is a story that's true. He said, I want to become a Sikh. And Guru Arjan Dev Ji whispered, he first gave him Chand Pahal and whispered Naam in his ear. And upon receiving Naam, that's all, he passed away. And the Sikhs said, what was this? They said, he was a very big bhakt, but without Naam, his bhakti couldn't get him to Sachkhand. His bhakti wasn't of any use until he got the stamp from Guru Nanak Dev Ji to get him into Sachkhand. And after that, the sarovar there is now still called Santokh Sar, after that yogi. Amrit itself, what does Amrit mean? Amrit. Amrit means death. A means without. When you shuck Amrit, Guru Sahib is promising you true life. With Naam, you understand what true life is. Guru Sahib, that's why he says, Jeevan Ome Jeevan Paya. With Amrit, you understand what true life is about. And that's when everything makes sense again. You get a new birth. You get a new chance. When you shuck Amrit, the Panch Pyare will tell you after, you've been born again, your new parents are Guru Gobind Singh and Mata Sahib Kaur, and your only job now is to jap Naam. That's your main mission in life. It's a new birth. And it's a new feeling. And what Guru Sahib is offering you is Jeevan Mukti. You don't have to die to enjoy spirituality. You don't have to die to get the rewards of your spirituality. Guru Sahib is offering you Sachkhand while you're alive. Jeevan Mukti. And if you can attain Jeevan Mukti, there's nothing that can stop you. People say, I want to change the world. People say that I want to make a difference. When you're Jeevan Mukti, that's the state that you have to be in to actually do that. That's when you won't compromise your principle. You'll be cut apart, but you won't change what you are. You won't change what your mission is. That's when you're fearless. That's what Guru Sahib is offering. But the Amartadis amongst you might be saying, when I shucked Amrit, I didn't really feel anything, and I'm still not really sure. I'm not feeling anything different. There's a qualifier that when we shuck Amrit, we have to be completely dedicated to Guru Sahib. Our head has to be Guru Sahib's. When you're a Sikh, you're not just following a religion. You're crazy. You're a mastanna. Whatever Guru Sahib says, you say right away, yes. If Guru Sahib says jump, you say how high. That's why you see some crazy saying that do things that don't make any sense to us. They might keep sarab low, or they might wear barna, or they might get up at crazy hours to jap naam for hours and hours. But that's because they're in love. They had one taste, and they can't stop. And this is what Guru Sahib is offering us. So, what is this about now? This is our chance now. Without this, it's not going to come again. We've had this chance now, and there's no guarantee that we'll get it again. If in life we gain nothing, upon our death, we'll get what we worked for in this life. This is a shabd that tells us what we get when we die with different thoughts in our mind. Gujri, antakal jo lachmi se mare, aisi chinta mein je mare, sarp jon wal wal autare. If in your last moments you thought about money, and Guru Sahib says, you'll be born again as a snake, as a very possessive snake. A snake is known to revolve around treasures, very possessive. Then, Ari Bhai, Govind Naam Mat Bisare Rahao. Don't forget Govind Vaiguru's Naam. Antakal Jo Istri Se Mare, Aisi Chinta Mein Je Mare, Beswa Jon Wal Wal Autare. If you think about kaam, lust in your last moments, you'll be born again as a prostitute, because that's what you wanted in life. You wanted, you know, to have lots of kaam. That's it. So now you have the opportunity. It's not vengeance from by God. It's not vindictive. It's what you wanted. It's what you worked towards. Antakal jo ladke se mare, aisi chinta mein je mare. If you think about your children, sukar jon wal wal autare, that you end up being a dog because a mother, a dog, has many children, takes care of those children, has very huge litters. You want it to be a parent. That's it. You just cared about your children and have lots of children. That's what you think will make you happy. Antakal jo mandar se mare, aisi chinta mein je mare. If you think about your house in your last moments, then what do you get? Preet jon wal wal autare. End up being a ghost. Antakal narayan se mare, aisi chinta mein je mare. If you think about in your last moments, Vaiguru. Because this is a test. This is the exam I talked about that you've been preparing for your entire life, your last moment. What you are in your last moment is what's going to determine your fate. If you're in your last moments, Guru Sahib says, Narayan Simra, if you thought about Vaiguru, Badat Tilochan Tenar Mukta Pitambar Vankarida Vasa, that in that person Vaiguru resides, and that person is mukt, that person is free. That doesn't mean that you can say, oh, I can do whatever I want in my life, and in my last moments I'll think about Vaiguru. It doesn't work that way. In your last moments, if in your life you've never thought about Vaiguru, don't think that you're going to get that chance. But if in all your life you've thought about Guru Sahib, you've given your head to Guru Sahib, all your faith is in Guru Sahib, then Guru Sahib himself will give you the opportunity to remember Vaiguru. But if you miss this chance, then this is what happens this next shabd. I told this story, the story behind this shabd, to my discussion class. Bhagat Kabir ji was going through a village, and there was a child playing, and he called the child close, and he said, Naam japala bhakti karla. And the child said, why? I'm young, I want to play, there's so much time for that. And Kabir ji said, fine. And he moved through. He came through again many years later, and that child had now grown up and was married. And he said, Hon bhakti karla, hon naam japala. He said, no, not now. I have children to raise, I just got married, and I have a house to build, not now. Kabir ji said, fine. Went. And the third time he came, when this child was now old, quite old, he said, Hon naam japala. He said, nay, my body doesn't agree with it anymore. I can't sit for long periods. Next life, we'll see. Next life. This life, I dedicate it to the world. Next life, we meditate on Vaiguru. We just had your decision. Fourth time, this man had now died. Kaviji came to the village, and there was an ox there. And Kaviji sat down and put his hand on the ox and whispered in its ear, Hon naam japala. And a tear came down the ox's eye. And this shabd is what was written at that point.
Ikkoonkaar Satgur Prasad Raghuji Bhagatan ki Bani Sri Kabir Ji ke Chaupade ka Dooja Chaar Paon Doe Singh Gung Mukh Tau Kaise Gun Gai Hai.
You have four legs, two horns, and your mouth can't speak anything. Now how are you going to sing Vaheguru's praises?
Oothe te baithe te thenga par hai, tau ka to moon lukai hai.
Now on an ox, I don't know if you've seen in India, these things, when they move, they're hit with a stick. When they sit down, they're hit with a stick. Wherever they go, they're beaten. And Kabirji said, where are you going to hide your face now? Don't you feel any shame? Wherever you're going, you're being beaten. You miss the opportunity.
Har bin bail birane hiye faate naak toote kandan kodo ko pas khai hai.
Rahau, that your ears are ripped apart because they put rings in their ears and their nose as well, and that you have to eat coarse grain.
Sare din dolat ban mahiya ajuna pet agai hai.
Your entire day you spend outside, and even through you all this work, you still can't fill your stomach.
Jan Bhagatan ko kahe na mano ki woh apno pai hai.
That you didn't listen to the Bhakts, you didn't listen to Guru Sahib then, you didn't listen to Sikhi, you didn't care. And now you're getting what you worked for.
Dukh sukh kart mahapram dubbe anak jon parmai hai.
That now you're going to go through endless births and deaths and pain and suffering because you didn't seize the opportunity you had.
Ratan janam khoyo prab bisreyo e avsar kat pai hai.
That you lost your opportunity. That you lost that diamond, and now when are you going to get the chance again?
Paramat ferat tele ke kap jo gat bin ren bihai hai.
There's an oil grinding sort of apparatus which has the ox going in a circle all day, and it ends up nowhere because it's a circle. That's saying that you go in a circle and you're still nowhere, that you're going to have to keep going in the circle over and over again, and you're going to get nothing out of it.
Kahit Kabir Ram Naam Bin Moond Tune Puchtei Hai.
That without Naam, you're going to regret it. So, that I think is all that we can say about life. We're here for Naam. We're here to become Sikhs of Guru Sahib. And without that, there's no person, there's no object that can fill the emptiness or give us a purpose. Without Amrit, we're going to be lost just like everyone else. So, again, I'm not a speaker, and while speaking, I'm sure I made a lot of mistakes. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ka Fateh.
Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ka Fateh. I'd like to thank Bhai Gurpreet Singh for a really good talk on the meaning of life. If anybody's got any questions, now's the time to ask. And
I'm sorry? Besides humans, can anyone be saved?
No.
Besides humans, no one else has the opportunity to meet Vaheguru. Even gods and goddesses, Guru Sahib acknowledges that they exist. There's a story, actually, about... I'm sure some people have read this already. But there was a Hindu, and he worshipped the Devi. And... he meditated on the Devi and he got to a point where he could ask anything from the Devi and she would take care of it for him. And he asked for salvation. He said, I want to be mukti. He asked for mukti. And the Devi said, I can't give you mukti. And this is a true story of the 70s. And she told that Hindu that in time, you're going to meet someone that will lead you to someone that can give you mukti. And that Hindu actually met a Sikh and he heard about Guru Nanak. And that Devi couldn't even speak the word of Guru Nanak, couldn't speak the name of Guru Nanak, because it doesn't have the opportunity to be mukti, nor can it give mukti. And that Hindu actually shut down. And I think his family still exists today. So no, not even gods, forget animals, have the opportunity that we have right now. Sod nad munjan amrit ko jide so amrit gutte paya. That gods, angels, they all want amrit, but only us humans can find Guru Nanak Dev Ji and get amrit.
Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
on the Guru Granth Sahib. Then we take him there. Or we will see. So then we need to have a good thing. We have to take him.
The question was, Bhagat Kabir ji, he was a Muslim, he said, the question, person asked, he was a Muslim, did he get mukti? First, if you read Kabir ji's bani, you'll know that he wasn't a Muslim, he wasn't a Hindu. And Kabir ji talks about meeting a pura guru, like Dr. Saab said this morning. There's two schools of thought on the bhakts, and I'll let Dr. Saab get more into it. But from my understanding, one is how Dr. Saab said that their souls came and received approval from Guru Nanak Dev Ji. But there's a very thick book written by Gyani Gurdit Singh, and he's gone to great lengths and great amount of research to show that Bhagat Kabir Ji and Guru Nanak Dev Ji and all the Bhakts were actually contemporaries. That there's actually a Gurdwara Sahib that commemorates the visits of Bhagat Namdev Ji and the Bhakts with Guru Nanak Dev Ji. And when Kabir Ji talks about finding a Guru, we don't know who the Guru is, and the only Guru that can be is Guru Nanak Dev Ji. And the Bani in Guru Granth Sahib, like was said earlier, you won't find that in the Bijak. The Bijak is the Kabir Panthi's Granth. So clearly, the Bani that was recited by Kabir Ji was divinely inspired after finding a Guru. And only that Bani that was recited after finding a Guru is the one included in Guru Granth Sahib Ji. Does anyone have any other questions? Being emancipated, it can mean a lot of different things. Being emancipated from Jaldut, it doesn't mean that you went to Sachkhand necessarily. It just means that you are freed from the clutches of Jamdut, are those messengers of death that take you. It can mean being freed from hell. But Mukti, Sachkhand, I think is only possible through Guru Nanak Dev Ji. But being free, I think, can refer to a lot of different things.
I think the writer mentioned that the person who prayed more for Tari.
Hanji?
Even these stones can also be emancipated.
Pashu Preet over here, I think, is referred to the human beings who are like Pashu and Preet. It doesn't mean Pashu in the sense of real Pashus. It actually means human beings who are like Pashus and Pahan. Pahan means Patra. So Pashu Preet Mugadako Tare Pahan Para Tare. So it's not those actual, in not in the literal sense, it's human beings who are like Pashu and
Preet.
That's fine, nothing wrong in it. No, over there it's in little sense, but there, for example, your previous example, Gajgraha de Chuta, it means those pagas, they were freed from the immediate danger they had. Doesn't mean they actually went to Sachkhand. Sachkhand is the territory of Guru Nanak Dev Ji. And bin Sadhguru kine na paya, bin Sadhguru kine na paya. There's so many references, Gurbani makes it clear that nobody can attain Vaheguru without Sadhguru. So yeah, you can be freed from the immediate danger, but that doesn't mean you got such kind.
They can get chance. Yeah. They can come in this human being. Sadevarga Janamuna and Mukha Janam Devsharaya. Jinnate Guru Di Meher Ode. Jinnate Guru Di Meher Ode. Chahe wo patthar hai, chahe wo pashu hai. Jinnu Guru Di Meher Ode Hogi Guru Di Nadar Chah Gaya.
This is another way of looking at it. If for example, Guru Sahib's Koda, the Neela Koda, I'm sure must have got him or found the following life. Yogi Guru Sahib's Seva Kiti Si. But we can't say that that Koda got free as a Koda. He must have got a human form in next life, and that's how he got to be.
I'm sure we can probably talk about this topic quite a bit, but are there any other questions?
Can we just do it eventually, because people on this side were sort of just caught off that conversation. When people ask a question, can you actually repeat the question?
Okay.
Hanji. As you heard about 1984, there was a scene that I got shot in the head, as I heard, and when some of the scenes took the injured, fatal people in, they were reciting Barney, and they kept the scene alive for a long time. And are there any other powers that Barney holds that can be used through world life?
The question was, through Barney, does Barney give any other powers? Because they talked about keeping death at bay. Through Barney, I think you can accomplish pretty much anything. Barney can give you any worldly thing that you desire. Barney can accomplish anything. But Barney has that power to make your naam go more and more. Barney's done amazing things. A lot of Shahids, you mentioned by Menga Singh that was shot in the head. There's been Singhs, even up to recent times, that have had their eyes removed, that have had rods pierce their bodies. And when they're lying there, this is a story by Anok Singh that I'm sure some of you already know, that they lay there doing a das, and the jail person heard it. He had no eyes, and he's lying there with rods stuck in him, cut apart. And by Anok Singh, he said, in his rera sa das, four pehad, four quarters of the day have passed in sukh, in remembering your naam, and through your Barney. And now four pehad of night have arrived. And Guru Sahib kar kirpa that I keep remembering your naam. And the jail guard that was standing there watching Pai Anok Singh, he started crying because Pai Anok Singh had no eyes left. They were removed. And he ran to the in charge of the police station and he submitted his gun and said, I can't do this. I can't kill people like this anymore. And what the jail... the person in charge of that police station did was, he goes, even this guy's talking is making our police force corrupt. They took a saw and cut off Bhai Anok Singh's tongue at that point. And Bhai Anok Singh still put his hands together like this in Shukrana. And there's things like this that have done amazing things that are not humanly possible. Even Bhai Fajja Singh fought with a mortal wound. His scalp had been blasted off. And he took his hand and he pulled his scalp down again. Had his dastar over his eye that had been shot, and he fought. Is that any different than what Baba Deep Singh just did? So Barney has so much power that it can make anything possible. So I hope that answers your question.
Also, the first study of Sukhmi Sahib in details that how many bones we can get by doing Simran and by reciting Naam and by jumping Barney. So it's not only Mukti that we get everything, anything positive. That's according to Gurmat, we can get through Naam and Gurbani. Not only Mukti and Tatkan.
Trying
to say that Sikh is not looking for Mukti. Sikh is looking for love
for. Yes, exactly.
This is very important to understand. We are looking for Mukti here.
No,
we are
not.
Looking
for Vajra's love. So it says in Gurbani that why Guru cannot reject his bhagat. He literally almost served his bhagat and had up it how good enough they served it. Well, that means something else. I forget which one it is, but it says Vaiguru cannot refuse his bhagat.
Bande bhagat nahi chhute meri pag meri bandi bhagat chhadave bande bhagat nahi chhute moso. So basically this is in Gurbani, as we know it's a word from Akal Purakh, but in rare cases Gurbani Vaiguru speaks in first person in Gurbani. And this is one of those places where Vaheguru speaks in first person. Vaheguru says, Meri bandi bhagat chhadave, bandi bhagat na chhute moso, meaning that je bhagat, if the bhagat says something, I cannot refuse it. Even though the bhagat can refuse what I say. I mean, bhagat can overturn what I do. Even though bhagats don't do that, but bhagat have the capability to overturn what even Guru Sahib or Vaheguru says. So yeah, this is Vaheguru in first person, how much power, how much sadkar, Guru Sahib gives to Pagat. And there's also an example in Gurbani, a Kachi Avid example, that we can go into detail some other time. And
just a question, even though I know the answer you're going to give, but something that comes up in a lot of people's mind. If you look at a lot of westernized people, they say that we shouldn't they feel atheists to say we don't believe in God because if God really existed, why is there so much dukkha on earth? If we look at that into a Sikhi context, if Gurusev always looks after his bhagats, then why in Sikh history has there been so much zulm against Gurmukhs? I mean, if you look at the Bibiyan, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, by Mani Singh, even like the greatest of all Sikhs, like Guru Arjan Dev Ji, I mean, why is there so much Sikhi being so much? Well, they might not class it as dukkha, but worldly level is dukkha.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there are two reasons for dukkha and sukha. No dukkha can come without your previous karma, bad karma. And in history, for example, Guru Arjan Dev Ji, he had no past karma for which he supposedly suffered. Guru Sahib did not suffer or worldly suffer because of karma gati. Karma gati means because of past karma. It was to show the world the power of Naam and to set the Shihidadi Sartaj. He started the tradition of Shihidi from there. So Guru Sahib and Baba Deep Singh and many other Mahapurush, when they went through suffering, was not because of the karma gati. It was to teach the world and show the world that this can be done for karma. How important it is to keep uphold karma. And second reason was that the Mughal Empire, they got their Rajpag and the kingdom because of the good karma. And in order to balance their good karma, they had to do bad karma also. So when Guru Tegh Bahadur Sahib, they gave his seas, that kind of balanced their good karma, because there was a hugely bad karma that they did against all the bank of good karma. So then from that day, from the day Guru Tegh Bahadur Sahib Shihidi Hoya, then to baad the Mughal Empire started going down. And history is the witness to that. Aurangzeb never came back to Delhi again. For the rest of his life, Aurangzeb spent in South India. He was never able to come back. And from Guru Arjan Dev Ji, Taga ke bakshe gaye, kyunki Guru Jahangir ne, the emperor who jinne Guru Sahib nu pancha paatshahi Shihidi ditti si, he actually apologized to Guru Hargobind Sahib. So Taga ke odon unna da raj finish nahi hoya. But jadon Guru Tegh Bahadur Sahib nu inne shihid kita, post time they, because of the immense bad karma, all the good fortune and good karma burned, and they lost it. Slowly they started deteriorating and they lost their kingdom from there. Thank you. हाँ जी चंदू ने माफी नहीं मांगी थी जहांगीर सिखा भी इनोसेंट ये देखा जाए ना कई कहते हैं इस तरह भी उन्होंने जिस तरह दरबारियों ने दसा उस तरह ने किया ही वॉज मिसलैड चंदू बस एक्चुअली वो रिस्पॉन्सिबल से जिन्हें सारा काम किया उन्होंने माफी भी नहीं मांगी वो डिफाइंट रहा पर ता ही अभी गुरु साहब ने पनिश किया गुरु हरगोबिंद साहब ने
What made the diamond special? Every breath we have is like a diamond. It's so precious because we get this life form after so many other life forms. And this is the only life form that we're going to get that's going to let us meet Vaiguru. And if you lose a breath without Vaiguru on it, it was a waste. Do you understand?
Haan ji bhai ji.
Diamond is precious, okay. Diamond is precious. And bachu? Diamond is precious kyunki apan naam japde hain us din. That's why it's precious. Naam is kyunki naam japde hain. Ohde naam likhya hunda. Ta karke precious hai.
I think a Gursikh has access to anywhere he wants when he's alive. When you're Jyot Prakash means you can see Vaikru's Jyot. And this is what every Sikh tries to get. Brahm Gyan is the same thing. When you get Jyot Prakash, that's your Purna Avastha. And you can go wherever you want. Sharam Khand, I told again this to my discussion group. Who here has heard about astral travel? Astral travel? Anyways, these people, they claim that there's some sort of a realm where all there is knowledge. And they say that it's an amazing spot. And Guru Sahib tells that Gyan Khand is where the Buddha has gone, along with Siddhas and all those. That's as high as they've gotten. And that's a place with all knowledge. But a Gursikh can go, I think, anywhere. And when he's alive, he goes to Sachkhand if he wants. And once you're in Sachkhand, again, everything is possible because you're one with God. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah.
Just want to add something to this, to your question. Every soul after death has to go to Taramkhanda. Taramkhanda is a place which is one level up above this place where there is Taramraj. And that's where we are held accountable for our good and bad deeds. Doesn't matter Gursekh, doesn't matter Manmukh or Gurmukh. Everybody goes to Taramkhanda. The only difference is when Manmukhs go to Taramkhanda, they suffer punishment and they held accountable. But when Gursekhs go there, they get satkar, they get respected there. So once they go there, and when there's no record, no bad or good karma is found, so then they just leave and they go to Sarsan. And as per books of Paisavranti Sinji, Gursekhs do go through all the five khands and finally they reach Sarsan. Because there's a reference to... That thing is hard, impossible to answer. Everybody is unique. Who knows Guru Sahib no saadi kedi ada pasand aagi? Who knows what karma that we did Guru Sahib has liked it and Guru Sahib has blessed us with amar.
Your question.
If we can judge
your question. Andy.
I think the difference between Sikhi and all other religions is that Sikhi doesn't condemn non-Sikhs to hell. It doesn't say that you people are heathens and you deserve to suffer. Sikhi does give a place for all these religions and says what they look for, what they're trying to achieve, they'll get. For example, a lot of religions look for heaven and all that. But Sikhi is something that you only have the opportunity to get through very amazing karma. Karma will let you become a Sikh, and if that person's karma didn't give them the opportunity to be a Sikh, then that's just their karma. It's not a matter of being fairness or injustice. It's divine justice. Maybe if they do good karma in this life, they'll have the opportunity to be a Sikh in a future life.
I just want to say, because I know Vice Minister wants to make just a comment on that question. Those of you, some of you might have been lucky enough to meet Bhai Rama Singh, or some of you might have read Bhai Rama Singh's book. Bhai Rama Singh in his book, now Bhai Rama Singh was born in India, he was born a Hindu, and he used to do Simran on Ram Ram. And he spent most of his life doing Simran on Ram Ram, and when he moved, came to France, etc., Guru, he had darshan of Guru Gobind Singh, and Guru Gobind Singh said, for you to progress further in your spirituality, you have to have darshan of Guru, you have to take amrit of Guru Gobind Singh and become a Khalsa. And that's why he writes that in his book, and it's an amazing journey, and we've actually got the books in the store. But in his book also, he mentions about an African guy, an African guy from Africa, that guy, and him, through his bhakti also, without never meeting a Sikh, he realized what Sikhi is. And he kept his form. There was, in the early parts of the camps that Dr. Devak organized, there was a saint from France called Darshan Singh, after he took over, his name is Darshan Singh. And he was basically born in France, never met a Sikh in his life, but he always felt it wrong for him to cut his ears. And he always felt wrong for him to eat meat. And he basically lived a Sikhi red lifestyle, but never knew what Sikhs were until he came to England and met them in Southall. And so, basically, that what you have to understand, the reason I'm picking this up, because also in the context of the Buddhists as well, what Sikhi is not a religion that Guru Nanak Dev Ji invented. Sikhi is the truth. The truth has always existed. It's a Dalit. That's why you have the movement there. So people from day one have realized that you need to keep your gears, you need to do bhakti, you need to have jangya karma, you need to behave in the right manner. And only through Guru Nanak, they actually gained a form and a name, etc. But people have been doing this from day one. And if you think that people living in Africa, like there's a Bibi in Brazil on the internet now, and she basically came onto Sikhi, but she never met no Sikhs or anything, she came to Sikhi by realizing this is the right way. It's just the conscience told her. And now she's calling Sikhs from over, from other places, saying, come to Brazil and do prachar for us. So there's a lot of people who are realizing this.
Okay. We haven't got time for any more questions, but Michael Beeson's just going to have a few seconds to say something, and then we're going to have to stop it there.
I just wanted to add something to a question Panji asked in Dr. Sai's session about Chand Paul. I will very quickly say that now that we are living in this Western countries, Western countries, it seems very odd that Chand Paul used to place his feet in there and Sikhs used to drink that. The thing is, the reality is that from thousands of years, this is the tradition of India. Anybody who adopts a spiritual guru had to go through that. Now, not only Sikhs, all the other faiths and sects as well, when they adopt a guru, they used to go through Chand Paul. So Guru Sahib, apne pair to okay na, saaf karke pair. Only the thumb of the pair, the thumb, pair da angutha, or the toe, sort of which serve karde, which karde, which emerge karde, usto baad bahar kar lende si. Usto baad, they used to serve like amrit, aajkal. So, as a tradition, unne Guru Sahib chalu rakhya si ga, which is ages old tradition. And Guru Gobind Singh changed it, as Dr. Sahib said, because there was going to be no Deitari Guru after that. Just want to say that.
That's quickly.
Promise
I won't
take too long. But I want to bring back the lecture to what I said, started off with purpose of life. I think it's a fantastic talk by Sajid Bhagwat, but really great. A lot of doubters here. I mean, it ceases to amaze me. Okay, if you go to an Islamic conference or a Hindu party conference, whatever, right? They really pro their religion. Jo bhi to suno kar deno, you know, they Jai Hind, whatever, Jai Mata Di, and Muslims are very Allah Akbar and whatever, and they're really into it. But I don't know what it is, but our Sikhs doubt our Guru more than any other people. You know, there's Christians out there who don't doubt Guru Nanak's message. There are Muslims out there who don't doubt Guru Nanak's message. But our Sikhs, our own Sikhs, are the ones who doubt the word of the Guru. That's the first point. Now, that is a statement that I'm making, which I find kind of like, I don't understand why it is there, except that we are non-believers. Most of us have been brought up as being non-believers. We don't believe the Guru. We then try to color it by saying, oh, we're allowed to ask questions, and it's okay to ask questions. No, you're asking questions in the wrong way. It's like trying to catch people out or finding out, oh, well, we believe this, now you prove it the other way around. And that's not a good way to learn things, for one thing. The second thing is that jo questions puchne bhi hai, you know, that's perfectly okay. But asab dinam thoda khunda, and jida hun Mantir Singh ne, he asked what the jewel was. He asked an appropriate question to him. What he was a child. He asked about a jewel, and you explained to him in that same manner. But apa puchte apni jamaat hai ki kuch. No offense to anyone, please. And I told you we're all equal here. We're all mountaineers. We're all starting off climbing the same mountain. But you know, kuch niya kahaniya sach khand diya. Jad sanu as khand de utte turna nahi aunda. Sanu as jeevan de vich sanu turna nahi aunda. Te asi puchhiye galla sach khand diya jithe rab vasda. I mean, that is amazing stuff. I'm just going to end this literally in 2 minutes. Now think about this. It would have been better if everybody had a piece of paper, but maybe in some workshop you could try it out if you wanted to. I think I can write on this board, isn't it? It's okay to write on this board?
Just test it.
Yeah. I think you were saying it was okay to write on this board. No. So, if you have a circle that this is your life, you may have done this before for other things. This is your life, and how many things are within your life? You could say, well, you know, if your family, you could say your work, right? You could say friends and whatever, or money, or you can divide your life in many, many different things. But part of that life is spirituality. Let's suppose that out of all those things, that part of your life is also spirituality. If you work out ki balance kithe hai, thoda sa kithe hai, then how much have you done to fulfill part of your life, which is the purpose of life? You could give yourself, okay, well, for you know, my family, I've done 80% ta main complete karti hai. Bachi bhi ho gaye, sab kuch ho gaya. You know, what more do I want with my family? Then chalo theek hai. Work waste, maybe you're pretty, 90%, you're earning good money, good profit, you've been promoted and all that. Oh, bhi chalo theek ho gaya. And we look at all this sector and your spirituality, for most of us, it's quite bad. It's very unbalanced. And if you look at even your health, for instance, a lot of the Sikhs now are pot-bellied. They can't run. They can't do anything. They're supposed to be sun spy, but they're not spy. They can't run. They're very prone to heart disease, diabetes, strokes. So we are not well people. So we are neglecting our health. Okay, so our pre-healthy, which probably, you know, you're going to, out of 10, say you're 2 out of 10. Now, if you look at that sector and look at spirituality, Sikhi, that is not paid attention because to us Sikhis, Gurdwara jana hai hafte de ek wari langar chha ke ted par ke and you come home, go to sleep. That's all it is. And then come to, you know, places and ask lots and lots of questions because, you know, you feel good about it. If you take that sector out now, and this is the sector of spirituality. Now divide that into everything that is spirituality. Spirituality maybe, you know, 3 out of 10. You might want to give yourself. Each one is individual. To give yourself a number that you think that for life which cannot unbalance. If you put that now as a circle, to see as spirituality, you know, to see kai cheez hisse to see one sakte to see ka sakte okay main kirtan maybe I can do one shabad, so I'm going to give myself 1 out of 10. I could become 10 out of 10 if I do more, you know? So let's say kirtan ho gaya. What else contains spirituality? Or kya chalo bani nitnem wagera, okay, say 5 out of 10. I could do sukhmani sahib, but main nahi karta, main khan paat nahi karta, so 5 out of 10 of that. Amrit vela apna kithe gaya? Most of us would be maybe 1% or less than 1%, because most people don't keep amrit vela. But that's okay, but that's something apne climb karna mountain. So let's say amrit vela ho gaya. If you look at this thing, let's say gatka, your martial aspect, how much of us know gatka? And jinn and gatka andar ye kinna ka andar, I would say about, you know, 5 out of 10, probably not more than that for most people who know Gatka. Baki bande ne Gatka pata hi nahi. So, on avaste is almost zero. You look at all of this, Bani, Shabad, spirituality, how much daan, tusi kinna service, seva, simran, sacrifice, naam, daan, ishnan, on avicho apra kinna hissa. How much do you really serve the Guru? So, you've got seva, kinna tu seva karde. It is not seva just of Gurdwara jaake seva, but seva for general world de vich kinni seva karde thodi life vich. Probably, you know, less than 1%, you would say. Seva, simran thoda kinna hai gaya. Kinna ak simran karde hai. Chalo, aaj adha ghanta karde ta, ko bohut karde ta. Life de vich, purpose of life jodha siga, kinna karde ta. Nothing, zero here. If you look at the whole life, odi vich jo spirituality bohut karte hai. Spirituality da circle draw karke dekho, odi vich jo hisse kinne hai gaya. It's the, you're ending up all unbalanced, we, all of us, very unbalanced in this circle. Je apa sare jane, if we put our own circle and worked out these parts, you may want to, in this camp, work out, chalo, main as camp de vich, main ek hisse de upar main dhyan karda. It could be ke, 5 dinan de vich, main amrit vela pura camp karna. I'm going to get 8 out of 10, 10 out of 10. At least I can say I've achieved something, I have purpose of my life, which is missing. Right? It could be gatka. So you could all choose something in this next 3 days to say, okay, my spirituality, dharmik jeevan de vich, main anna imbalanced lagaya, par main sara kuch ta balance kar nahi sakda 4 dinan vich. In 4 days, I can't balance everything, but at least I'm going to choose one aspect of that sector, and I'm going to try my best to get at least 8 or 9 out of 10 out of this. In that way, all of you, all of us can go back and say, okay, main kuch na kuch achieve kita purpose in life jira mera hai. So this is my binti. Maybe the workers, sevadars, might want to work on this with all individually. Kenya de vich did that. See, Kenya camp de vich kita te bahut sare lokan ne kya kisi gatka, because they could actually achieve that within 3 days. But Kenya ne, main aap khud kya, main kya camp, jinne bhi camp laye na, asi kade bhi amrit vele te proper nahi aaye, because we were so busy. Raati sona 3-4 baje, te uthna 2 ghante baad, we couldn't do it. But main kya, ad ki god damn, I'm going to wake up. So in that camp, in Kenya, I actually managed to do every day. I managed to come there on time and finish with the campers, and then I used to do what I wanted to do. So I achieved that and I felt good about it. So we could all achieve something. All of you can be winners on some aspect of this circle. It's your chance to choose something that you know that you're lacking here. In that way, Pajida, jo anane aaj talk kiti hai about purpose of life, hopefully, okay, let's not, with all our questions, lose the essence of what his talk was. Because I think it was fantastic. And we don't want to lose the purpose of what his talk was. Keep in mind, Jona ne kya, about purpose ada kiya ga. The osari purpose de vicho, let's put it into a practical aspect. O practical aspect ke ye 4 din hai. Kene 4 dina de vicho, kush na kush o purpose de vicho complete ta kar liye. Then it will be successful. Vaheguru ji ka khalsa.